Well, this morning we left off with the Magna Carta. And you have, as a Christian, according to John chapter 1 and verse 12, he says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So the King of Kings has given you the right to pray to him. And not only has he given you the right to do that, he's given you, according to this verse, power. And I guess when you go back in the Old Testament, one of the greatest examples that I see of that is found in that 32nd chapter of Genesis, Genesis chapter 32, where Jacob is going back home. Jacob's going home. The messengers have arrived, and they've said Esau is coming, and he's got 400 men with him. And that news caused Jacob to be greatly afraid and distressed in verse 7. In verse 9, Jacob begins to plead the promise of God. And Jacob said, "O God of my father Abraham, and God of my father Isaac, the Lord which saidst unto me, return unto thy country and to thy kindred, and I will deal well with thee. I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which thou hast showed unto thy servant. For with my staff I passed over this Jordan, and now I am become two bands. Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. For I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children. And thou saidst, I will surely do thee good, and make thy seed as the sand of the sea, which cannot be multiplied." So he divides them all up, and he sends them over the brook, and he stays there where he is that night. And then he begins to wrestle with the angel of the Lord, which I think is the Lord Jesus Christ in a human form in those days. And so in the 24th verse it says, "And Jacob was left alone, and there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. And he said unto him, What is thy name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. And Jacob asked him and said, Tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And so this 28th verse is a verse that I believe applies to all of Jacob. And Jacob is simply another word for Israel, God's covenant people. And so as you fit into God's covenant people, you've become, because you are a son or daughter of the King of Kings, you've got a royal charter that gives you the right to pray. Not only does it give you the right to pray, it gives you the power to be able to prevail against the Almighty God. Now, God's given us that by His grace. If He hadn't given it by His grace, we could never prevail against God. But it is the wonderful blessing of the Lord that His people can prevail with Him and obtain blessings in prayer because He desires it to be so. Otherwise, it wouldn't be. We have power with God and with men to prevail. Now see that in Job chapter 42. Job 42, as it comes to this conclusion of this man's life, where he had some miserable comforters as friends, in verse 7 it says, "And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, My wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job has. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you. For him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that ye have not spoken of me the thing which is right, like my servant Job." So Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite went and did according as the Lord commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Now there's a prince with God prevailing and being given power to be able to even pray for his friends, that God would accept them. And as he prayed for them, his own captivity was released. Again, we find that in Isaiah 38, in the life of Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a godly king. And it says in verse 1 of Isaiah 38, "In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed unto the Lord, and said, Remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore." Now for you boys and girls, that word sore is just old English. It means he wept a whole lot. He was squalling. And I guess you would be too if you had a message from God that said, "You set your house in order because you're fixing to die and not live." And it would probably cause us all to be able to weep a lot, because we're not quite ready to go. Isn't it amazing how this world can just sort of have a hold on us? And it's so hard to break that hold and even go to a place like heaven. This world has such a grip upon our lives that breaking free of that grip is sometimes so hard to do. So here's a godly man that found it hard to break that grip that the world had on him, and he wept very much. Then came the word of the Lord to Isaiah, saying, "Go and say to Hezekiah, Thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. And I will deliver thee and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city. And this shall be a sign unto thee from the Lord, that the Lord will do this thing that he hath spoken. Behold, I will bring again the shadow of the degrees, which is gone down in the sundial of Ahaz, 10 degrees backward. So the sun returned 10 degrees, by which degrees it was gone down." Now that's a miracle. Only God can stop the sun. Only God can turn the sun backwards and 10 hours be gained again that was lost. Only God can do that. But here's the amazing thing. He did it. And I tell you, he did it at the prayers of this servant of God. And God has some princes and some princesses that prevail with him in prayer. Why? Because he'd have it that way. There's no other reason. Because if God didn't have it that way, guess what? It ain't going to be that way. But bless His holy name, He gives us the power to be able to pray and to be able to prevail with Him and with men. See it in the book of Daniel, chapter 9. Daniel was another man that was greatly used of God. And when you read Daniel chapter 9, and you find Daniel studying the Word of God. And so, boys and girls, it's good to study the Word of God. Here, Daniel was reading the Scriptures of Jeremiah. And notice now what it says in Daniel 9 and 1. In the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Now let's turn back to Jeremiah chapter 29, because that's where this is recorded. Jeremiah 29 and verse 10. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you, and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. And how did God bring that to pass? He used faithful men like Daniel to begin to pray, which is what Daniel says in verse 3. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments. And I want you to know that God has a remnant today of men and women just like Daniel that He comes to, and He counts on them to pray, just like He counted on Daniel to be one of the ones that would pray His people back to their homeland through the prayers of men like Daniel. No doubt Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego fell into the same thing. But God used this praying man to bring about what He said He would accomplish, and He did it through prayers. And so when you pray, you send angels flying through the heavens. Did you know that? Let's go back to Daniel, chapter 9, verse 21. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I am come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. And so there's two wonderful thoughts in all that. And the first is this: your prayers, just like Daniel's prayers, begin to send angels flying through the heavens. They're there according to what the writer to the Hebrew letter could write and say in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 14. That they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation. Now, you can't see the angels for the most part. Every now and then, God will draw back the curtain and allow some people to see angels round about them. But for the most part, they do their work silently and they do their work behind the scenes. But your prayers start angels flying through the heavens. The second thing I want you to see about this is that not only was Daniel a man greatly beloved, but you are too. You are one of the king's daughters and sons, and he's bought you with a great price, and you are beloved in his sight, and he rejoices in your prayers. And so when you turn to the book of James and you look and see what James says about prayer, I want you to see in the life of Elijah the prophet, James mentions him in chapter 5 and verse 17. The New Testament spelling of Elijah is Elias. Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. Now that's the first thing that encourages me. Because you look back in the Old Testament and you see men like Elijah and Elisha, and we tend to want to put them on a pedestal and think they're superhuman, that they are above us and we could never do what they did. But listen to what James says. Elijah was a man subject to the like passions that we have. He experiences the same problems we do. And so if this man, subject to like passions, could pray earnestly, don't you think you can too? You can. You can pray earnestly. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now let's go back to 1 Kings chapter 18, where we get a little closer look at what went on back there. He prayed, and God sent rain. But I want you to see why he could be so fervent in his prayer, and his prayer be so earnest. Chapter 18 of 1 Kings, verse 1 says, "And it came to pass, after many days, that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. So God told Elijah, you tell Ahab, I am going to send rain on the earth. Now that sound like a promise to you? Sounds like a good promise to me. And when you lay hold of a promise and a word that God has given you, I tell you, you can find a lot of strength to be able to pray earnestly for that to come to pass, because God said he would do it. And so God gave him that word. And so when you turn to the 18th chapter of the book of 1 Kings, you find that, the latter part of this chapter, there is a contest that goes on between all the prophets of Baal, the false prophets, and Elijah, the true prophet of God. It takes place on Mount Carmel. And so he calls all these false prophets to erect an altar and to be able to call upon their God, and the God that answered by fire, he would be the true God. And so they worked all day. They worked hard. They jumped around. They cut themselves. And then about the time of the evening sacrifice, Elijah built the altar of God. He repaired it there. And he had them dump all that water. Dig a trench around it. Dump barrels of water on it. Not once, but three times. Saturated the whole thing. And then he prayed to God. And God sent fire down. Licked it all up. And the people's hearts, for a little while, was turned back to the Lord. But after he slew all the false prophets, it says in verse 41, and Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and put his face between his knees, and said to his servants, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again seven times. And it came to pass at the seventh time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, get up, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Now that must have been a sight. And that had to be the Spirit of God just kind of lifting this man up. And I don't even know if he was really touching the ground there, but he outran the chariot Ahab was in. And he was there at the entrance of the city when King Ahab got there. And so God sent an abundance of rain. The prophet prayed for it because God told him he was going to send it. And that gave him a great impetus to call upon the Lord and to seek His favor in that rain coming. And so when you look at 2 Kings chapter 13, I want you to see there's also another element that we need to include in all our praying. 2 Kings chapter 13 and verse 14. Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it. And Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, open the window eastward. And he opened it. Then Elisha said, shoot. And he shot. And he said, the arrow of the Lord's deliverance. And the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. And he said, take the arrows. And he took them, and he said unto the king of Israel, smite upon the ground. And he smote thrice and stayed. And the man of God was wroth with him and said, thou shouldest have smitten five or six times. Then hadst thou smitten Syria till thou hadst consumed it. Whereas now thou shalt smite Syria but thrice. What kind of expectation do you have in your prayers? You see, this king didn't have much, even though God gave him a wonderful word of deliverance. He could have smitten those arrows many times, and as many times as he hit those arrows on the floor, it counted up a wonderful deliverance. But the man had no expectation. And I tell you, when we come before God, not only do we need to pray an earnest prayer, but we need to have a great expectation in what God is able to do in delivering us in our situations. A great expectation. Well, do you know that the kingdom of God is taken by prayer? In Luke chapter 11, I want you to see that this is what Jesus is bringing out in that 11th chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 11, he says in verse 5, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me three loaves? For a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, that is his shameless begging, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? And so throughout the Roman Empire, the kingdom of Jesus Christ began to grow. And one of the reasons that it did was because of the prayers of God's saints. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. You think that's changed any today? That the kingdom of God is no longer advanced or prospered or blessed through the prayers of God's people? I don't think it's changed any. I think that every church, as part of the kingdom of God, is going to have a wonderful blessing by the prayers of God's people as they want that kingdom to go forward in their day. We don't want to go backwards. We want to go forwards. We want all our young people to go forwards with us. We want God to come. And how are we going to get that? We're going to ask him, because he says, if we ask him for the Holy Spirit, he will give us the Holy Spirit. And we ought to ask expectantly.